This is the message delivered by Pastor Hon on February 12, 2023. The message title is, May the Father strengthen you with power through His Spirit in your inner being. The scripture passage is from a book of Ephesians chapter 3, verses 14 through 19. Good morning, everyone. Let us read today's scripture passage from Ephesians chapter 3, verses 14 through 19. For this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of His glorious riches He may strengthen you with power through His Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power, together with all the Lord's holy people, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. In last week's service, we thought about the reason why the Apostle Paul prayed the same prayer again after chapter 1. To put the reason in one word, we still don't have the content that Paul prayed for, or maybe we don't. Have you tried praying a prayer similar to Paul's prayer in Ephesians 3 last week? If you prayed, what did you feel there? What was shown to you while you prayed? After last week's service, I was thinking about Apostle Paul's prayer. Let's pray a prayer similar to that of Apostle Paul, I thought. But I experienced not being able to word it because of a fear. If I had been like what I was before, I would have been happy to pray with joy and courage, Lord, please strengthen my inner being. Let Christ dwell in my heart. Being rooted in love and founded in love, may I know the breadth, length, height, and depth of Christ's love that goes far beyond, and may God fill me with the fullness of God's riches. However, when I thought about the contents of the prayer more carefully, I realized that it was a prayer that contained a declaration and a confession, I will abandon myself. The words of Jesus overlapped the essence of the Christian faith. Whoever wants to follow me, deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Even at the evening service last week, when I sang a hymn, I was terrified of the lyrics of the hymn, and a thought popped up in my mind. How bold and how fearless is it to be willing to say these lyrics and offer praise? For example, some of the hymns we sang at last week's evening service included the lyrics such as, The heart of Christ is made within me. I humble myself before you, and I will present my thoughts and my heart to you, so please transform me. I would have been pleased to sing those words with joy, but only on that day, for some reason, the content of the prayer of Apostle Paul overlapped, and I remembered the words of Jesus that are so earlier. I thought, I cannot let go of myself. Saying this praise and saying this prayer is like saying, God, I will never live for myself anymore. I give myself up. I give up myself because I'm yours and your vessel before I'm mine. Seeing the love of Christ, I don't have anything to say or express my opinion, so please do as you please. I couldn't help but feel the difficulty and fear of dying to myself and denying myself. Even so, I was convinced that the Apostle Paul's prayer is true, that the words of his praise are true, that they are true joys for human beings, and that they are real, not pretense. The prayer of the Apostle Paul is the true prayer, the prayer that God is willing awaiting for, the prayer of those who wish to grow to the height of Christ. There is no change in the fact that it was a prayer that must be prayed without fail by those who wish to grow to the height of Christ. And I also know that when I surrender before God and this prayer comes out from the bottom of my heart, there is a peace that is unparalleled. So I wanted to pray even more. Even if it was difficult or scary, I wanted to pray. Strengthen my inner being. Let Christ dwell in me. Let me truly know the breadth, length, height, and depth of the love of Christ, which surpasses all understanding. That is what I wanted to pray. This is because it is in this place that each and every one of us truly manifests our existence, accompanied by the realization that we are truly alive, and God truly reveals our existence and truly makes us alive. I would like to continue thinking about this prayer of Apostle Paul this morning. In particular, I would like to think about the words in verse 16, the prayer to strengthen the inner being. Let us look at Ephesians chapter 3, verse 16 again. I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being. May God strengthen you with his might means may God strengthen us to live our lives as we wish, and as we wish to live does not mean may God grant me the kind of life I want, or may God allow me to live my life to make my wish come true. No, that's not that. The Ephesians chapter 3:16 is translated in the New Revised Bible, second and third edition, slightly differently. It is translated, I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen your inner being with power through his Spirit. May your inner being be strengthened. That is, may God, the Holy Spirit, who works in your inner being, strengthen your inner being. That's what Ephesians 3:16 means. It is the inner person that we are strengthened about, not an outer being. In the first place, the Lord Jesus came into this world for the sake of the inner being. Jesus came to this world to show the existence of the inner being to this world that does not seem to know the existence of the inner being, or that instinctively feel vaguely about it but does not know for sure about its existence, going around paying attention only to the outer being. From beginning to end, the Bible tells us that the root cause of the world's problem is that there is no inner being, only the outer being. An outer person is an appearance created by humans, such as carnal desires, lifestyle, pride in life, pride due to possession and acquisition, and so on. The expression inner being is unique to Apostle Paul and only used by him in the New Testament. Peter describes Paul's inner being as the hidden man in the heart, or the meek and gentle spirit. Apostle John also simply uses the word soul to describe it. Let's take a look at Peter's words. 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 3 and 4. Your beauty should not come from outward adornment, such as elaborate hairstyles and the wearing of the gold jewelry or fine clothes. Rather, it should be that of your inner self, the unfading beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is of great worth in God's sight. The inner self of the heart, a meek, gentle, and quiet spirit. What is meant here by a gentleness is not the softness that can be put on by human power, the kindness of personality or character, but it means spiritual inner fruit or maturity of the hidden person in the heart that is given by surrendering before God, wholly depending on God and deepening the relationship with God in the presence of God of the Spirit who resides within us. It is the world and the human pattern in the world that focuses all its energy on satisfying the outer person, devotes all its efforts and attention to the outer person, and laments that its problems are not resolved. This world has lost sight of the existence of the inner person and has lost the path to the fundamental solution to all problems. Jesus came to this world to teach us to seek from the inner beings the paradigm of the fundamental solution to all problems, and to clearly show that we must seek it from the inner beings. And for this purpose, he offered himself. Satan, who appeared to Jesus at the beginning of Jesus' public life, showed him everything in this world and its glory, and tempted Jesus by using the outer matters, saying, "If you bow down and worship me, I will give you all these." Then Jesus said, "Get down, Satan. It is written, 'Worship the Lord your God, serve only him.'" He kicked Satan away, telling him that what is fundamental is for the inner being to be connected with God. And Jesus later said, "If a man gains the whole world but loses the true life, what will be gained? What will he gain? What can a man give to buy back that life?" He said, paraphrasing the inner beings to the word true life, that what is important for a person is the inner beings who matures in Christ. He also said the word that we are familiar with in Matthew chapter 6. Let's turn to the Matthew chapter 6, verses 30 through 33. "If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today, and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, 'What shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear?' For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. O you of little faith, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness." These are the words Jesus speaks to those of us who are attached to our outer beings. Jesus clearly teaches each one of us who keeps a hope in this world that is visible but uncertain, by using our faith only to live a better life in this world, that the fundamental solution to this world, which focuses only on the external things and outer beings, is for inner beings that are invisible but surely existing, to pursue the kingdom of God that is invisible but sure. In order to embody this teaching of Jesus in our bodies, first and foremost, we must be born again in the Lord Jesus. We must shift from the decaying paradigm of the outer man to the paradigm of the inner being, which is renewed every day. And since we are born again in the Lord Jesus, we cannot continue to be like infants forever. When I was in elementary school, I still remember excitedly going on field trips to Ueno Zoo, Tobu Zoo, or Tamatek. The day before the excursion, I went to a nearby candy shop to buy snacks under the 300 yen limit and bought sweets up to the full 300 yen just in time. Some of my friends bought snacks well over the 300 yen limit, but they insisted that they were under 300 yen and brought all the sweets they bought. Since our home was not a Christian home, I made a teruteru bozu and tied it to the pillar of the balcony, hoping the weather will be nice. So when I was in elementary school, I was most looking forward to excursion to school. But as I grew up and became an adult, I learned that there are many more fun and happy things than that. I can sit around for so long with a backpack on my back, a snack under 300 yen, and the pleasure of asking for a teruteru bozu to turn the weather nice. As I became an adult, I learned that there are things that go deeper from the bottom of my heart, like, oh, it's fun. It's really fun and happy. For example, after I had a family, but I didn't have a lot of money, we went to eat out with a limited budget of 2,500 yen. And when we managed it, there was a bittersweet joy of eating out with my family of six. When my father passed away, I experienced the joy of the whole family preparing his funeral to send him off to heaven in peace. And my child, whose umbilical cord was twisted in the mother's womb and stopped growing due to a lack of nutrition, was born with a low birth weight. Tears of joy came down when he started drinking milk while holding tight his mouth. Or after becoming a pastor, the joy I felt when I led someone to become a Christian through my preaching of the gospel. Even though it is indescribably painful and sad, there was a peace in the fact that there was a hope and life that could not be taken away because of Jesus, and the joy that made me happy. The joy I felt when I saw someone who was in sorrow and pain that I couldn't even say a word to, but was determined to live with Jesus. When my father, who was not a Christian, said to me, "Your job is something that money can never buy." So when I was in elementary school, when excursions such as going to zoos and amusement parks seemed to be all fun and joy, I could not have imagined a deep, wide, and wonderful joy that awaited me when I grew up as an adult. Just like that, since I was born as a believer, I know that there is a joy that goes far beyond the joy of satisfying only outer beings, and I acknowledge that I'm asked to desire spiritual growth and spiritual maturity to know that joy, and this is why I pray. We cannot be like infants and little children praying only for the full fulfillment of the outer beings. We cannot continue to pray like, please give me money, please let my child pass the exam. I'm afraid of dying and I hate it, so please fix it no matter what. Where is it the better to go? Please guide me to the better one. Give me land and the house with the living room, a dining room, and four bedrooms that are all sunny. Please assure me that I'm right and that person is wrong. Please do something to change the environment, the situation, the conditions, or please do something about the bad people so that the conflict disappears from this world. With the fulfillment of my desires, my prayers keep coming out of my mouth as if to say, I recognize that God is God, or I cannot settle for childish things like I'm not very good, but I'm a Christian, so it's okay. Of course, this does not mean that such prayers are totally wrong. Please pray and let us pray even those prayers. God fully responds to such prayers. However, if He responds, He doesn't respond to us to dress and fill our outer beings, but to deepen our relationship with Him so that we may know who He is. Therefore, we must remember that He is responding to us in order to connect more closely with God. It is never to satisfy our outer beings. Nevertheless, we tend to try to measure God and measure our faith by how much we have satisfied the outer beings. My prayer has been heard so much. No, my prayer has been heard so much. Consequently, it becomes a competition or a struggle of the outer beings. But it's okay. From a certain moment of time, God will give you a time when such prayers will not be answered at all. For what? It's for the growth of the inner beings. If you believe in Jesus, He will answer your prayers of such kind for about 3 years, said my seminary teacher. Jesus knows very well that we are still newborn infants and that we can only pray at that level of prayer. He receives such prayers and fully answers them. However, from a certain point on, the time will come when such prayers will not be answered, because you cannot be a spiritual baby forever. After 10 or 20 years of faith, if God still answers my prayers of that type, it means that even if I have lived my faith for 10, 20 years, the truth is that I'm still 1, 2, or 3 years old. He may be a year old like child, said the seminary teachers again. Faith requires the maturity and growth of the inner person. God encourages the growth of the inner person through living in that environment, living with God in it, without changing the environment, circumstances, or conditions at all. And as our faith matures, we begin to pray like, let me find some meaning in where I am placed now. Let me understand the will of the Lord hidden in this. Give me faith and patience that I may find in it the treasure which you intend. Until the time when I know how deep is your love, how much is Christ's love and your will, may I rely on you and trust in you. Apostle Paul does not pray, let me out of this prison, but rather, let me know what a tremendous blessing I have received from God. Let me see clearly the depth, length, breadth, and magnitude of Jesus' love. Clear the eyes of my heart, and let theirs be as well. Instead of praying, please change the environment and people. Paul prayed, please change me. And Paul is led to the state of prayer and faith, which is the greatest joy that can be obtained as a human being. In Romans chapter 14, verse 8, he said, if we live for the Lord, and if we die for the Lord. So whether we live or die, we belong to the Lord. If we live for the Lord. And if we die for the Lord. So whether we live or die, we belong to the Lord. This is what it means to strengthen the inner beings. This is how the inner person grows and matures. This is the ultimate joy and comes from seeking God's kingdom and God's righteousness first. And this is the only word that can be uttered by those who have the incorruptibility of a meek and gentle spirit, and whose garnish is the hidden man of their hearts. And it is a prayer that imitates Jesus' prayer. On the eve of his crucifixion, Jesus said to his disciples, I am overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. Let this cup pass from me. But God the Father did not answer that prayer. However, Jesus understood the bloody treasure of God the Father, who did not answer his prayers, and prayed even more, saying, do not do what I want, but do what you want, was given. Apostle Paul's prayer is the prayer of the Lord Jesus, and as a result of his inner being being strengthened to the point where he can trust in the deep, wide, and great will of God the Father, his prayer came out of his mouth. God does not mobilize or use us for some matters. He is the one who mobilizes matters, things, and incidents for us. God's purpose is not to measure faith or God based on the success of a certain matter or incident, but to see how my inner person was strengthened through that matter or incident. It is the true value of being a believer. God's purpose is not to accomplish something, but each and every one of us is God's purpose. If you get this wrong, you will deviate from the faith taught by Jesus, as taught by the Bible. The world's problems are not solved according to world-created or man-made problem-solving methods. The situation in this world is changing a little now, but for the past 3 years or so, the whole world has been in the midst of COVID. Everyone has his own thoughts and opinions about COVID, but the fact that everyone has to admit is that the spread of the way of life that tries to satisfy the outer person by the way of the outer being, such as form of a civilization, has brought about this situation. Even so, human beings are still focused and attached only to the external person, and they try to be stubborn as if there is a solution, even though it does not lead to a fundamental solution. At times like this, Christians must demonstrate the value of their inner persons. But if you can only see things on the same level as the world, Paul's prayer is really required. May the Father, according to the riches of his glory, strengthen your inner person with power through his Spirit working in the inward inner being. We Christians are supposed to know how to solve problems not from the visible but from the invisible. That is why we pray. We pray, may God, the Holy Spirit, who works in the inner beings, strengthen our inner persons. The church is also a group of those who know that it begins and ends with the inner beings. If the inner beings is born of Lord Jesus, the inner beings is strengthened and the inner beings grow healthy, then they will discern what is true and what is not true and enjoy the peace that is appropriate to the time and place on this earth and wherever they go. Even though it may be a tiny little thing, the kingdom of heaven will be formed around them. The Apostle Paul was not a talker, but rather a dumb man. He wasn't what you would call a good-looking person, and rather he was reportedly not very good-looking in the eyes of the people of his time. He was the kind of person who wouldn't stand out in a normal way, rather than having the kind of charm that attracts people like King Saul of Israel. However, churches were built wherever Apostle Paul went. He created churches that had peace, life, faith, the kingdom of God, and the scent of Christ. It was not because he had something he could rely on, or something he could be proud of. This is because by knowing the value of the inner beings, knowing the truth of the inner beings, being strengthened by Christ and by God the Spirit, and seeking to be strengthened by the inner beings, Paul put God's kingdom and God's righteousness come first. And because he did not give up on uniting, judging things by his inner beings and discerning their value by his inner beings. In any age, in any place, in any church, if there is a problem, that root cause is that the inner beings has lost sight of the importance of the inner beings to be strengthened by God the Spirit. We were made to win over the outer world with the inner person, and he was made a person who can find true victory in winning by the inner beings. So let us pray. Let us pray. May God the Father, according to the riches of his glory, strengthen our inner beings with power through the Spirit that works in the inner beings. Let us pray.